Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Hello, good evening and welcome. It's just after 6 o'clock. For the next 60 minutes, we're making money make sense, how to earn more, grow faster and stay ahead in a world that never stands still. So whether you're plotting your next big move, tackling financial curveballs or just looking for smarter ways to build wealth, we've got expert insights and bold strategies to help you take control. Coming up on the program.
I have just had a consultation with all the whips of parties following a consultation with the leader of the government business. In terms of Rule 48, Subsection 2, we have decided to adjourn proceedings for a date to be determined by the Programming Committee. This is in accordance with Rule 10. Honourable members, before we started the session, we were informed by the leader of government business, as it is the process in terms of the communications between ourselves and the executive, that while today we've been gathered here to actually have the Minister of Finance presenting the budget to this August House, that there has not been agreement in terms of parties in the executive to actually find one another in proposals of the budget.
Well, high drama in Cape Town today as the budget speech is postponed. What now for the economy and the future of the Government of National Unity? Also on the program, the cost of Pretoria's high-impact tornado. And countries borrow money, but what happens if they can't pay it back? That is our Wednesday listener question. All of that's to come. Let's start the show.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And Cabinet therefore decided not to come and do a presentation of the budget and allow themselves enough time to relook at the budget and come back to this house in March at the time at which they will inform us. So, no, honourable members, I will point you, I have noted your hands. Well, in our consultations, which I must report to you, the different whips shared with us their perspectives on the matter. There were those who agreed and asked that we ask the executive to give us a definite time in March so that we are able to deal with the pressures of time for the legislature. Secondly, there were those who were saying they are not accepting the postponement. But obviously, we did indicate that while we note their refusal on the postponement of the sitting, it would not be of any use to postpone when there is no presentation that will be made. There were others who already declared their rejection on what they say. It's an alleged increase of 2% on the taxes, so they said they wanted to state it up front that they are not agreeing. So I'm just giving you a perspective of the consultations that we've had. But there was agreement that if there is no budget that is presented, there is no discussion that will be held, as there is no other item on the agenda.
And we're going to lead the program with this. Tonight, South Africa finding itself really in uncharted territory. For the first time in the democratic era, a national budget speech has been delayed. The Speaker of Parliament making the announcement, citing a cabinet deadlock. Opposition leaders are calling this a sign of a government in crisis. You'll know the ANC no longer has numbers to pass the budget alone. and negotiations with potential coalition partners appear to be at an impasse. So here's my question. What does this mean for South Africa's economy, governance and international credibility? Political commentator T.K. Puer, good evening to you and welcome. As I've said, an unprecedented situation. What does the delay tell us about the state of the GNU right now?
Evening. Well, it tells us that, look, things are not running as they were purported to be, and I think that's quite the problematic issue, because it's not an issue that, look, after the SONA, then the president, then the budget, is then they start discussing the budget. This goes back all the way to the midterm, where they've got enough of a runway to start discussing it. The fact that they could not present the budget does kind of tell us that things are not really working in order, and I think that probably is more of the crisis legislatively. They will argue in terms of the PMFMA Section 27 that they have until June. But as you've correctly stated, historically, this has never happened. And the fact that they didn't even give forewarning kind of tells the markets that, listen, maybe these guys are not really understanding how serious a crisis of this country is and are not talking in that language of crisis.
We had the first indications last night, didn't we, when the DA came out very strongly saying it would support no tax hikes at all. But it's the forewarning that is of concern. All of this was very last minute, wasn't it?
And that's the exact nature of the problem that I think many South African citizens in the markets will not understand. You literally, from June, when the midterm, and October, when the midterm budget is given by the minister, the president, the minister of finance, and all other parties would have got together to say, listen, we have February 2025 to present this. What is our story going to be? So the fact that they've not been able to do this really just says that it does beg the question which we need to ask, what have they been doing that they've had to wait, not even the last minute. Basically, it went through. We were told everything was going through. Money was spent to have this event for today, and nothing.
Julius Malema says government has collapsed. Fikile Mbalula from the African National Congress says the delay is necessary to address fundamental questions. That in itself is quite vague. Which of these assessments is closer to the truth?
In between those two, I think that is the truth. Neither, I think, is correct. There's no truth in both, but there is a middle ground. And the middle ground, I'm sure this is what they are going to spin for the next coming few days, that by law, by the PMFMA Section 27, they have up until June. But I think those that are a bit more discerning are going to be worried that, listen, how is it that you literally had to wait till the last minute? And how do you literally, it's not an issue of you can't walk this back. It's an issue of saying you now need to almost take the country and the markets into the confidence and say, this is why this is a problem and this is the debate. And I think people will be more understanding as opposed to either being like the Secretary General of the ANC and say, listen, this is something small, we can manage it, or the opposite end, being in the red berets and saying, you know, the sky is falling. Yes, it is raining in Gauteng, but I don't think to that level.
So the ANC needs around 40 extra votes in Parliament to get this budget through when it is delivered. Is a compromise doable, do you think, or will there be a massive vote hunt from the ANC?
I think it will be a vote hunt, but I think that's the wrong way to go about doing. We do know there's there is a bit of a deficit, as Saz has explained to us, but I think to go look for it on the back of a hike, and also to look at it in the back of what the global environment looks like for South Africa going forward, is the wrong way to do it. The issue should be, and this is where I think the ANC for the first time is having to really understand this. The budget cut cannot come from already punishing citizens who are already stretched with their budgets. It needs to come from internally in the government, which is to say, what are you guys willing to compromise politically in terms of the issues of how we run our provinces and our municipalities, the number of bodyguards and everything that you have? That's where the cuts should really be coming from. You can't keep asking citizens who are already stretched, as indicators show us, that, listen, we're going to come to you in order to fill out the shortfall.
Do you think that the ANC failed to price in the risk of a potential increase in VAT? Did they just get this wrong?
Yeah, I think they really missed the mark there. But I think it also goes back to the state of the nation, which is the president did promise many things there. And the question, and there's always been something which people have asked of previous SONAs, especially over the last 15 years, which is to say, when you make this SONA, why aren't you working with it with a real-time budget? Because you can't simply just go up on stage, promise many things, and then say, Minister of Finance, put that in for me. This should have really been a team together, the president with Treasury saying, I want to do this. What can I do? And I think that's always been the failing of the ANC over the last 15 years, especially.
So where does this leave President Ramaphosa? His flank is weak.
No, exceptionally. But I think the one thing he probably will do, and And this is where I think maybe they have got a bit of a runway, is the issue that, look, the DA has not stepped out. What the DA simply said is, you need to come to the table as a humble party, and we need to discuss this. And I think that's probably the grace that's going to save the president, the fact that the DA has not walked out fully. And if you listen to what the other members of this coalition were saying in parliament, none of them are willing to walk away. It's an issue of saying, how do we talk the language of compromise? But again, it has to be compromised based on what government can cut, because it cannot come out to the citizens.
How do you find that compromise, though?
Look, in the extreme end, and I think this is where we should be going, my argument, I think with you, we've always had this discussion, that I still don't see why we've got 278 municipalities. Why do we have these 9 provinces? A lot of what we have as provincial structures really should not exist. And I think that's where we should be finding money. We should be saying, how do we chop down government so that it's a bit more efficient? Not necessarily individuals, but structures which have been hanging around for the longest time, but they don't give us the type of economic development that we need. But I doubt that's the conversation they're going to have. What they're simply going to say is, well, you always go for the soft target, which is a social, your social spending. And sometimes I agree to that, but I don't think in this situation time, because the issue is not this year. The issue should be, how do we really get a house in order for the coming 7 years? And my fear is that this coalition has not really discussed the language of 7 years. It's always a month-to-month crisis.
I don't like dealing in the realm of speculation, but let me put this question to you. We've got March 12 as the next budget. Let's assume it is delivered, but they again find difficulty in passing it. Could we be staring down the barrel of a constitutional crisis here?
Not necessarily. I think they have until June, so by law, and I think that's what probably gives some of them some comfort. The Minister of Finance was speaking about that language of, look, by law, they need to just wait for the new financial year, and it only starts before or around June. So they have got that runway. But how they explain this to the market is probably where the crisis, and I think that's where you're intimating, is going to become a bit of a problem. Because if it looks like they cannot find their way into June, then I think we should worry that we've got a constitutional crisis. And also, I don't think probably picking the month of March is the best thing. I think, isn't it the Ides of March? Bad things tend to happen in March. And I really think what they really should do, even if it means you push it to April, and I know that markets won't be happy, should be a discussion of, listen, let's truly ventilate this, and let's truly even get the private sector involved and have a discussion, say, these are our shortfalls, this is not what we're going to make. But I don't quite foresee that vision coming through.
What is the immediate impact on the workings of government, given that no budget has been delivered?
Well, at this moment, they've got enough money, as far as I know, to go into probably the next 2 or 3 months. So that part is well. So the programs can still run. The issue will come in now when the unions start negotiating for the price increase. How do they do that if we don't know what the budget looks like? So you probably have to delay that. And then there's the issue of, much larger issue of saying, listen, if we can't really do this by June, what happens? So I think they've got enough runway. By law, I think it's done. But it's, the damage, as you said, it's more the issue that people were not foretold and the markets were not foretold. And how you resolve that, I don't quite know.
This is going to take exemplary, tactful, and very judicious leadership, isn't it?
Yes, and most important, it's going to take something which we've not had for the last 15 years, which is going to be taking firm decisions, which is to say, you're willing to upset everyone in order to get to this decision. And what we know about our political elites, unfortunately, over the last 15 years, it's not they've been great at promising, but not necessarily making tough decisions. And hopefully this is not now the time that they start expressing this, because we also have to remember we have got a person in the United States who's not going to make life a bit easier for South Africans. So we really do need to get our house in order.
Well, let's see how this plays out in the next couple of days. From the Wits School of Governance, commentator TK Puer, thank you very much.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.